Welcome to The Buyer's Desk, your weekly resource for all things natural food retail. Each month starts with a deep dive into SPINS data, spotlighting growth trends and key industry insights. Then I'll bring you conversations with industry leaders and highlight brands making waves in the natural channel. We'll wrap up each month with actionable strategies, collaborative discussions, and tactical tips to help you thrive. This season is packed with fresh perspectives, big ideas, and everything you need to stay informed in natural food retail.
At Pure, we believe you shouldn't have to choose between clean ingredients and great taste. Our gum is sugar-free, aspartame-free, and naturally sweetened with 100% xylitol, with no artificial flavors or colors, so you can enjoy a healthier chew without compromise. Our products fit every lifestyle, gluten-free, vegan, and non-GMO. Plus, we've got something new for gum lovers, Jumbo Gum. 3 times the size of regular gum and refreshing mints for a burst of flavor anytime. Kick aspartame. Choose Pure and chew better gum.
Welcome back to The Buyer's Desk. It's Angela, and I am, as always, thrilled to be joined by two of my infra colleagues, Jesse Rock and April Thurheimer. How's it going this morning, ladies?
Hello. Great.
All right, I'm just going to set this up. So it's March. It's Women's History Month. And as women in grocery, we always like to at least do some kind of gender-based nod to women during the month of March. And I'll be real. These are two of my colleagues. And I was like, ladies, we're going to make an episode and we're going to talk about the huge rise of menopausal products in grocery. And also, I made it equally complicated by indicating to you both that let's just stay out of the supplement aisle because that might make things slightly complicated. And we've always had supplements in the natural grocery space that have addressed some kinds of wellness symptoms. So I'm like, no problem. I'm going to aggregate some data. We're going to find some menopausal products to talk about. And they just aren't there in the volume that I thought they would be. I thought for sure we would have at least a couple of bars we could talk about. but you know what? We did confirm that there's this rise of menopausal products. In fact, since 2022, there have been over 16,000 products patented with some kind of menopausal support. But on the natural grocery front, we're just not really seeing those on the grocery aisle. Fair. So, thought about making this episode a little bit about some of the clinical studies that are proving certain ingredients are helping women with menopause, but as none of us are, you know, clinical scientists or really necessarily want to dive into soy and phytoestrogen or the pros and cons of flax seeds, we're going to reject that idea as well off the top. So then I was like, well, why don't we start talking about the rise of gendered products in grocery? And of course, ladies, I don't know, I'll just go ahead and lead this episode by saying immediately what came to mind was, well, if dude wipes are taking up so much space in this segment, certainly there's got to be some gender-specific female counterpart. And I don't even mean a wipe. I just mean that at the point at which we're talking about dude wipes, certainly there's some kind of female-centric grocery item on the other side. But really, what that only necessarily came down to some older products, some of which were just marketed to a specific gender. I'll just take the most obvious example, despite the fact that it's been on the market for a very long time. So that was when Clif Bar created Luna Bars specifically for women. How long has Luna been on the shelf, ladies? 20 years?
Forever.
15?
Yeah, I think Clif's 28. So
you guys have a favorite Luna Bar SKU?
I like the chocolate cocoa one. I think that's what it's called. It's good.
Yeah.
Well, you remember when Clif Bar actually put a woman on the Clif Bar for a very brief time. Mm. I think it was the smoothie bars.
Oh, like the little climber?
I don't know if she was a climber. It was, I mean, the smoothie bars are gone. I don't think they're even on the market anymore.
Yeah.
They've since done more female athletes, but that was their brief little nod to women.
Yeah.
The smoothie bar.
All right. So the smoothie bar. Okay. Love that, Cliff. And hey, actually, Cliff, like, you know, classic natural grocery, one of the OG bars on the shelf. Definitely, like, you know, appreciate the nod there. It wasn't menopause specific, but certainly we've got this women-centric protein bar. Of course, I believe that the protein source in there was soy, despite just saying that I didn't want to talk about soy. And then the second thing that came up was not a natural grocery product at all. And I frankly didn't know this, but I didn't realize that the first time that Coca-Cola Zero came out as Coca-Cola Zero was a masculine counterpoint to Diet Coke. Did either of you know this?
No. No, but I did do a little bit of Googling for this conversation. And apparently there was also like a, it was either Pepsi. I don't think it was Coca-Cola, but it was a different soda that was like Pepsi 10. And so instead of like zero calories, it had 10 calories, which is manly in some way. Because it was like the can was like gray and like various shades of gray and like stripes and stuff. And then I think that's what ended up becoming like Pepsi Zero or Dr. Pepper Zero or something like that. Like they tried it and then they just went right for the zero.
It's very fascinating to me in general that any soda producer, natural or not, would think that there would be some kind of like, all right, guys, like, guys need 10 calories, not zero. But I actually do bring up, like, I mean, genuinely, like, someone's like, oh, you know, I really need 10 calories right now. I'm going to go do something.
If you go into a bar and say diet beer rather than light beer,
diet beers.
Guys aren't really super happy about saying, you know, would you like a diet beer?
Yeah.
No, it's light.
Despite the
it's
fact
a light
that
beer.
Beer is incredibly caloric.
I just looked it up too, and it was Dr. Pepper 10, and it says right on the can, 10 bold tasting calories. So.
Oh.
Not just 10 calories. Yeah, bold tasting.
Bold tasting.
Like a barbecue sauce or something. That's where my head goes with that.
100%. I also feel like, is bold a taste? We could maybe have an entirely separate episode on. To be real, actually, I'm joking, but I do think there are ways that we describe flavor that are just what? But yeah. But I do think that the Coke example, despite it not being natural, was an interesting example to me because when I was really thinking about like products that are geared toward women, I had completely forgotten about the 90s and how literally everything got light or diet. And I mean, I don't think that it would be a surprise to any of our listeners for me to boldly state that that was directed toward women. We were the ones that needed the light yogurt and the low calorie, all the other things. And those products were absolutely geared to women. And it almost feels like with the rise of, you know, protein continuing to be this backdrop of all things product wise, as well as a newer trend in fiber, would you guys agree that we are at a place where that has that now transcends gender? Or do you feel like diet products on the market are still uniquely marketed to women?
That's a good question.
I feel like it's not so much diet anymore because of that shot that now it's just little portions, like little single serve or what. So like, I feel like that term diet has kind of taken a back seat a little bit.
Yeah. I think that they're just using different terms
because folks are just doing the shot. And yeah.
Well, I mean, actually, what you bring up an amazing point, the shot being GLP-1s. I think you can also take a pill now, April, but I'm not like 100% up on this.
I'm not up on it. Yeah. I couldn't even remember the name of it.
Well,
I just know it's a
but
shot.
But it's true, right? I'm thinking protein and fiber, but really the rise of GLP-1 has created a very different look at what I would call diet culture. It does not uniquely seem to be gendered to me. It seems like if you can take GLP-1 you are able to afford it and feel like it's a good choice for you, like you are just able to do that now. And yeah, so that is actually affecting portion size. I will say, though, like Rise of very specific GLP-1 products, I like the menopause thing. I definitely thought we would see more.
Yeah. They said it was going to rock the food industry. But other than single serve, I haven't really seen anything that's specifically calling that out.
Well, and you have two kind of interesting trends going on there, too. You have what is undoubtedly groceries getting more expensive and like grocery and food specific inflation, which has caused some product lines to decrease their size, but not their price.
Shrinkflation, is that what that's called?
Yes, I was trying to come shrinkflation. But, you know, shrinkflation could be economic, but it could also be a GLP-1 piece as well. Like just people are consuming less theoretically. So then you would want products, particularly perishable products, to be smaller. That's serious conjecture on my part.
Yeah, I don't see the food industry as being like, let's just make this better for people so they don't have to throw food away. We'll just, you know, make it smaller so that they can feel better, but charge the same price. Yeah.
Well, I mean, just since we're going to broadly speak of trends, though, I mean, when you think about ultra processed foods and the rise of like specifically American obesity, I mean, maybe there is somebody out there that's like, we're just going to take 2 ounces off of this. Just like we're going to fight. We're going to do our part.
Could be.
When you find them, you let us know. When it's not based on just capitalism, but it's rather based on care and empathy. Yeah, you let us know who that. Where that
no, it's a valid point. It's definitely a valid point. I think that very few food manufacturers really want to A, say that aloud, or B, even want any amount of visibility into anything supply chain or like the extreme complication of like actually getting that product to the shelf. Yeah. All right, so maybe not diet culture. Maybe that's not gendered thanks to the GLP-1s, which I'll take it. We really couldn't find an enormous amount of gender-specific grocery products. Although, Jesse, I heard you use the verb Google. So, what came up for you? Anything?
Well, I think you might be interested to know that there is a competing product to the butt wipes called, is that what they're called? Dude wipes?
They're called dude wipes.
Well, there's a competing product called butt napkins that I was really funny.
Wow.
Beyond that, what I found out, and what this isn't, this is obvious, but like when you talk about the diet culture or like things that are designed for people who want to like lose weight, when you're looking in this like very specific male coded products, it's not about losing weight. It's about body recomposition and fat.
Ooh.
Like one, I don't even know what this product is. It's called Jacked Factory. I think it's it might be a supplement actually, but it's like getting jacked, you know, like getting all the muscles, I guess. And I think that like when you look at certain parts of like social media and that sort of like very male approach, it's more about that. It's a like, get lean, get jacked, but ladies, it's like, you know, balance and vigor and light. And so the word, my least favorite is skinny. I never want to hear that word in any context, but I really hate it when it's applied to like a cookie, like skinny treats. That was some of the interesting stuff I found. Like, just, it doesn't even matter what the product is. You know, they're talking about like, the internet was talking about, you know, a yogurt can be the same product, but if you put like probiotic on the cover, that's a little bit more female coded, whereas you put 20 grams of protein on the cover, that's more male coded. So, I mean, like I said,
until we dove into this, I had never seen the term Brogert style products. And it even said, like, they were, you know, speaking about a particular line, but it said, these yogurts were marketed with masculine branding, bold, there's that word again, bold colors, rugged fonts, and protein-forward messaging like, quote, find your inner abs to appeal to men's fitness interests. Okay, we all have inner abs.
Everyone's got inner abs.
Protein. Why? There's got to be a protein product. No one take that. April's got it.
There's a protein subsection. It's a subcategory.
A subcategory of protein. Also, though, can we just quickly go back to that word you used? Body recomposition?
Yeah.
Like your body was composed in some way that you need to return to?
Yeah, like your body was composed of like fat and muscle. And maybe you have okay. too much fat and you need more muscle so that you're recomposing.
Got it. Got it. Yeah. 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 It's
you're rewriting the song. You're recomposing it. The song yeah. of your body.
Your body song.
Your body song. Okay. That's another brand that just wrote itself. All right. Body protein R's body song happening. Definitely.
I don't know. I was listening to this thing on NPR about this guy who's like major. Dude, bro, like he had all these really terrible words that he, not bad words, but like he was, you know, the made up like social media words that people say that don't mean anything except in those very
looks
specific.
Looks maxi.
Yes, that's what it was actually.
Yeah.
And he had also like, yeah, it was just all about like, you know, the way you look and various things that people were doing to their bodies to make it look a certain way. And that's, I think that's kind of part of that whole culture, the recomposition idea that you can just kind of like take your body and mold it into something really jacked.
Yeah. You know, that is hard for me because I am pro movement. I'm pro feeling good in your skin. And then it feels like that line between health and like weird body image is challenging. And I, ladies, just full, like, because we're having a bit of a gender conversation, I can't decide if welcoming all these boys into the socialization that is your body isn't good enough is a positive thing. Like, we're all in this boat together feeling bad. Or if it's like a, well, like a welcome to what we've been experiencing for decades, dudes. Like, no, we're not, it's not a community thing. It's a, now we all suffer. Like, it's a very strange, it's strange yeah. for me.
It's sad. I don't like it. I want us. Yeah, I agree. I want everyone to feel good and in themselves. It's just, it's usually like younger people too, which makes me sad for them. Like, your whole
right.
the world is on a screen and it's showing you all these things that aren't real. And now you think you need to be part of that.
And potentially spend a lot of money on supplements, or you're too young really to be building that kind of muscle mass. And that is like actually harming young men. But yeah, I'm so sorry. I know about looks maxing. I am.
Looks maxi.
Yeah. I mean, the protein piece and the like kind of the bodybuilder piece of like that whole male imagery, it is very interesting. And I agree. It's like there's a lot of cons there. And at the same time, like, you know, wishing people luck taking care of their bodies.
Yep.
You said skinny. You didn't say slim. When I was doing this research, I completely forgot about Slim Fast. You guys remember Slim Fast?
Oh, yeah.
Tommy Lasorda yeah. commercials. I'm aging myself here. But I remember thinking like, oh, right. Like the concept really is like if you drank two of anything that was calorie restricted and then had one meal, you would be losing weight.
Yeah. The other one that I came to mind earlier when you were talking was Snackwells. Remember the Snackwells, like the low fat, no fat craze of the 90s. And then these cookies that like somehow didn't make you feel like you're eating a cookie at all. Eat the entire box because they had no
yes.
satiating ability. At zero fat. That was,
yes.
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
The days of Olestra.
Oh, you know.
Yep. That was another mm-hmm. one that just went. That whole, well, we'll approach it with just having it go through you very quickly.
I don't know if this is urban legend or not, but like there was a warning on the label. And I remember that there was a warning on the Olestra labels. And I can't remember if it's specifically recommended that you have a second pair of pants. But I do. I mean, like, I remember like thinking that. I don't know if it actually said it, but I remember thinking like, okay, if you buy these chips, you should really have another pair of pants on hand. And then just as a fun, like natural grocery jump to that, do you remember when Bulletproof Coffee first got really popular and there were similar, maybe you have a second pair of pants stories with MCT oil. Ugh. Anybody? Yeah.
I do remember those chats.
I still do a version of Bulletproof, and I will say I think there's a lot of great benefits of MCT oil, but you definitely need to start small and work your way up.
Good to know.
Yeah. We also haven't even touched on, and I don't know how either of you feel about it, and I definitely didn't put this in the brief that I asked you to read, but let's try anyway. There's been an interesting rise in more natural feminine hygiene products, utilizing things like hemp, et cetera, focusing on not bleached things. And I do think that there are some very cool women doing very cool things in those spaces. Anybody here like love anything that they on the market currently?
I love just the fact that there's more women involved in the manufacturing and creation of feminine products. Because back, you know, a couple decades ago, if you'd mentioned, I'd rather it not be a bleached cotton product, you would have been deemed just wacky. Like, oh, you're thinking too hard about it. Don't be so picky, you know? And I love that there's a rise in all of that consciousness about those products.
So in my previous world, we did a lot of grocery product education. And I remember in Portland, there was a brand. It didn't last very long, unfortunately, but it was one of the first brands to have a certified organic cotton tampon. And I remember one of their reps coming in to train our staff. And she wanted us to, on like these little demo counters that we have, like put a regular tampon and then her tampon in these like cups of water so that people throughout the day could see how many things like sloughed off of the regular versus the organic. But I will never forget this woman standing up in front of the room and being like, ladies, European women demand organic. You Americans, you just want multicolored applicators. Do better. And my whole... I know. But, you know, like not, I mean, it really was the first time in my life as a woman, a menstruating woman, that anyone had ever really been like, maybe you should consider the quality of product that you're putting very close to your body multiple days a month, right? Like,
or in your body.
Or in your like, body, 100%.
In your body. Yeah. In a very membrane heavy area.
Mm-hmm. Just, oh, 100%. Now these are the things I say to my daughters. I'm like, well, multicolored applicators isn't, you know, that's not even, you know, like, no, this is not your standard. We should be demanding organic on things like that, undoubtedly. Undoubtedly.
Yeah. We have come pretty far, though.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
I do wish that it was more of a normal thing in this culture to use non-applicator tampons, though, because then you think about how many applicators one woman goes through in her lifetime. It's disgusting. And they're so much better. Yeah. Like, I love the aftercare tampons.
It's such a weird thing when, I mean, every woman's been in a position where somebody's like, oh my gosh, you have a tampon. And if you are a non-applicator tampon carrying woman, you find out how out of the norm that is when you're like here and they go, oh no, I'll use something else.
Paper, it's fine. Like,
weird reaction, right? Because you're like, what? It's your body.
It's like you're almost like, I'm only at this, I'm sorry.
Yeah, which is insane because that's the other piece, right? Like the waste factor of that alone, but also just like, you don't need that. Like, you got this, girl. Like, you know. Hey, anybody listening that makes tampons, you're doing a non-applicator tampon, maybe put something on the wrapper that's like positive and I don't know, moderately instructional, like so nobody feels weird about it.
Yeah. Like Johnny Pop jokes on the popsicle sticks.
On the stick, everyone loves
them. Yeah, just put like a really like, you got this, you can do it.
Yeah.
Wash your hands.
Yeah, do your part. Okay, ladies, I mean, we actually made an episode out of, hey, don't you think there's a bunch of menopause bars on the market? And I cannot appreciate both of you more. Is there anything at all when I was like, come have an episode with me about I don't know, menopause, gendered products on the grocery shelf. Like, let's celebrate being women in grocery in March that we did not talk about that you want to make sure we talk about today.
I just love the fact that the topic of menopause even comes up now. I mean, it just used to be a suffer through it. We don't talk about it. Don't talk about it. So yay, Gen X, for getting this far.
Yeah, absolutely.
And taking our attitude and being like, no, we're going to talk about it.
Heck yeah. I do find myself saying things like, these conversations aren't going to directly benefit me, but they're going to benefit my daughter. And I feel great about that.
Yeah. Even though we didn't really talk about menopause. I mean, but still, well, just the word was in a podcast.
We probably said it multiple times. Maybe we can get a show note on here. How many times did we say menopause? But no, it's true. It is true. Maybe by March of 2027, there'll be a few more products on the market. People are going to be listening to this the week after Expo West. And I got to say, ladies, like any grocery buyers going to Expo West, we've got a solid couple of aisles now. Like there are a solid couple of full aisles of like feminine hygiene and women's specific supplements. And that's not nothing.
Can't wait to hear about them.
I really appreciate both of your times today. Hey, join us next week as Kim Root talks to Q Drinks, a woman-owned soda and mixer company. I really hope they don't have a diet line. I'm kidding. I think they do. I don't know. All right. Well, join us either way. Have a wonderful day. Thanks so much.
As we step into March and celebrate Women's Month, we want to take a moment to shine a light on the incredible women of IFRA. This month, we are featuring short clips from women across our membership and our staff. Women who are leading in stores, shaping strategy, strengthening communities, and moving the natural foods industry forward every single day. At IFRA, we believe leadership takes many forms. It is resilience, it is collaboration, it is innovation, and it is women who are willing to raise their hand, share their voice, and create space for others to rise. Throughout March, you will hear directly from these inspiring leaders. Our hope is that their words not only inspire you, but also remind you of the strength and talent within our independent community. Let's celebrate the women of IFRA. This is Women's Month on the Buyer's Desk.
Hi, my name is April Thurheimer. I'm the Supply Agreement Assortment Lead at IFRA. And what makes me proud to be a woman working in natural foods is getting to meet and support so many fierce, creative, and passionate women, adding their voices to the industry. That diversity of their backgrounds and experiences helps to continuously improve natural foods. And seeing the steady rise since I started in the early 1990s has been pretty inspiring.
Hannah Pepper, Community and Events Manager. I think women bring a unique blend of empathy, inclusivity, and lived experience to the natural foods industry. Women have long been undervalued and under-researched in traditional medical spaces, so it does not surprise me that many turn to natural foods for healing, connection, and empowerment. I see many beautiful strengths within my fellow women. I see compassion, creativity, community-mindedness, and a human-first approach. These skills and values foster environments where wellness, innovation, and care can thrive.
As we wrap up this episode of The Buyer's Desk, we'd like to extend our heartfelt thanks to the incredible IFRA staff contributors, dedicated independent retailers, and visionary natural food brands and business partners that made this episode possible. Stay tuned for more inspiring insights and stories in the world of natural food retail. Until next time, thank you for your support.
Angela Bozo, co-host and administrator.
Kim Rout, executive producer and segment contributor.
Jim Olson, Spins segment manager.
Austin Hinkle, audio engineer.
Sarah Super, wellness strategist.
Madeline Ware, marketing writer, editor, and digital manager.
Haley Craig, audio engineer and segment contributor.
Raina Kittredge, segment contributor.
Bella Sislo, outreach manager and segment contributor.